Well, Andrew was saying 16 to 18 hour days, really, that the AIC is doing.
And that's normally 6 to 7 days a week, with very limited opportunity to leave the community. And that's, I get concerned for the younger officers because there is pressure on them. Like Andrew said, they're the workers, so they're the ones out in the community, which I believe that they need so much of, not only cultural awareness in terms of the local community culture, but from a historical perspective as well, you know, the social issues, why communities and why people are in the position that they are, because they are the frontline workers. So while they're there to enforce the law, and that's their job, I think it comes down to a way they go about enforcing the law. And that comes from understanding.
Okay. How is it seen for taking children into these communities? Presumably when they're younger, at preschool and primary school, it's not too bad, but is it seen as a disadvantage to have your children, say, going to high school, to go to one of these communities?
I certainly would see it as a disadvantage. A lot of communities only have school that go to grade 10, so you would have to send your children away. There's also, in communities, very limited extracurricular activities. There are social issues.
Yes.
There are concerns. I've got two daughters. There are concerns with their safety, for example. My girls were very little when we went, when they were actually residing. They started school there. But then it comes down to the education system too. I'm not particularly trusting of the level of education that's delivered in a community perspective. Sometimes I think that it's delivered at the level they think it is needed and no further. So in terms of, if I look at my own children and to see where they're going to go in their life and what opportunities I'm going to make available for them, education-wise, I wouldn't. However, socially, my girls have got a very good grasp of culture. They have, they're quite entrenched in Indigenous communities, and they have a very big respect for, there's no difference with my girls between black and white, so I think that that's a wonderful thing.
So there's pluses and minuses.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. They get something out of it, as well as perhaps not getting the best piano tuition or violin tuition whatever.
Well, wouldn't that apply to the Indigenous kids too?
Of course.
It does.
You know what I mean? They have to go to boarding school too if they want to go past grade 10.
Yes. Yeah.
And they often don't. I find that, because I deal with a lot of adolescents and young adults that are in particularly bad places because I'm a drug and alcohol worker, and they rarely finish senior high school because they have to go away.
Yes.
And they're disconnected from their community, their family. So we're seeing lower levels of education in Indigenous communities because we're not providing that service for them.
Yes.
It's across the board.
They're usually 2 years behind when they leave school, when they leave the communities to go out for boarding school. My daughter's been out from last year and she was basically 2 years behind mainstream education.
Yes.
So that's a lot for children to take in.
It is.
Especially for like police officers that have children. And that's another problem.
Well, that's an issue, the education issue, of course, is one that we can't be addressing here, but it's an understandable one then that police officers will be looking carefully at whether they will be disadvantaging their own children by serving 2-3 years in an Indigenous community.
And the thing is too with the Indigenous communities, where there's a 100% Indigenous enrolment in the school, you only have one Indigenous teacher, you know, who's not even the principal. So, you know, the education department needs to look closely at employing more Indigenous people in the schools too, to encourage those kids to get a higher education. They see a black teacher there, they then one day might want to be a teacher.
That's right. It's a good role model. But that's a catch-22,
yes,
isn't it? Until the education system gets up to a good level, we're not going to have them coming as teachers. But I must say, personally, when I was on Aracoon, I got the opportunity to go through the childminding service that was there, the preschool, and I must apologise that I can't remember the lady's name, but
Jane Cohiga.
But she was very, very impressive, and that centre I thought was a tremendous centre. And apart from her, the others working there were virtually all local Indigenous people who had been trained up in the early childhood education and childminding. I thought that was most impressive centre.